On this episode of Beyond the Whiteboard, we talk all things time management with Cornerstone Dynamics CEO and productivity expert, Adriana Girdler. Adriana is Canada's foremost business productivity expert, and she shares her insight on how to become more productive at home and at work. Adriana is passionate about improvement and efficiency in both people and organization, and it shows. We hope you enjoyed this week's episode.
Could you introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Adriana Girdler. I am a president and CEO, that is chief efficiency officer of a company called Cornerstone Dynamics, and we are productivity specialists.
Awesome. Productivity specialist, what is that?
Well, what I like to say is we help companies and people do what they do better. So I always say the companies and organizations and people, you know, they have products and services. They do that really, really well. But it's how they do it that usually with growth and change, they don't change their internal ways of working. So we kind of come in and help them and their teams get better at that so they can be more streamlined, effective, and efficient, allowing them to deliver great product and service to their customers and clients.
That's awesome. That's the first step of scaling your company up then. You have to be getting streamlined for sure.
Absolutely. And if you do it from day one, it makes life a lot easier.
Definitely. That's one thing I found out running a business. If you don't have that stuff streamlined, it certainly gets in the way later for sure.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So kind of a little backstory for everyone of how I reached out and found you. I was asked a question by my daughter. And before school started, so she just went back to school about 3 weeks ago. And I'm a parent and a coach and a business owner, so I should have all my stuff together. I should know all this. She asked me this question, how do I stop procrastinating? And I thought, well, I gave her some dad wisdom of, well, just do it. And then I had to look in the mirror and go, that's a procrastination answer because I'm horrible at procrastination. So that's why I have to wake up at 2 a.m. sometimes, I think. So let me start off with asking you, what are some ways to kick procrastination?
Yeah, you know what? It's a good question, and I'm glad you asked it because this is part of what we do, right? I mean, everybody wants to get better at things, but it can be a little bit daunting. So the first thing I always say to people is, yeah, you have this overarching goal. And the reason why you procrastinate is because it just feels too large, right? Or it's a little overwhelming. Break it down. That's the first thing. Break everything down into manageable chunks. There is nowhere saying you have to get everything done today. Nowhere, nowhere. It's a choice we make. Now, we may have deadlines, and depending on what it is that we're trying to do, we may have some of those deadlines that we do have to obtain. But break everything down into manageable chunks and just focus on that one or two manageable chunks so that you can get through it. But there's other sort of tricks of the trade too. Sometimes procrastination has nothing to do with it being overwhelming. It's just boring, right? Or maybe we're not as motivated to do it. So I always like to say, try to combine activities with something you really like. So for some people, and you will appreciate this, fitness. I am a huge fitness fanatic. I've been a runner, and I used to actually teach way back when I was young, and it's part of my life. Like, I go on vacation, I bring my running shoes with me because that's who I am. But as you know, not everybody does that, right?
True.
And how do you get through it? So combine it. Combine things like with a Netflix program. If, you know, it's really easy to sit on the couch and watch Netflix, but if you can bring your phone into a gym and be on a bike and watch your program that way, talk about getting two things done that, you know, you're enjoying and it's helping you get through the hump that perhaps maybe you need a little more motivation for. Or if you're commuting, do a really good self-help audiobook. That's a really cool way to break up that time and actually get some value out of it. But the key is you can't do two really intellectually challenging activities. They kind of have to be more physical in the sense of, you know, chewing and walking gum, you can do that, but you can't text and drive. Right?
So really, so it's a healthy multitasking. So
absolutely.
I like that. And I sometimes do that. You know, interestingly enough, what I found out doing that one time, I like to I listen to a whole bunch of podcasts, and I was walking home to get my exercise in from the gym. It's about 8 miles from my house. And I was trying to get under a certain time, but what I wind up doing when I'm reading, just like you said, the intellectual part, you can't do two things. I'm like trying to write notes as I'm walking.
Yes.
It was taking me so long. I'm like, I can't do that anymore.
But that's awesome. I love it. I think that's absolutely awesome. And then another really quick technique too that I tell people is with it kind of goes inside with either the breaking down or even the combining is just create a short list of things. Like a lot of times people get too overwhelmed because they have 30 things on their to-do list. And where do you start? So I always say make it manageable. Pick your top five, put it on a separate list, top five. And that means everything else on that other list, which is stuff you still have to get done. I call it the parking lot. So just focus on that top five. Once you get one done, you can go to your parking lot and you can rotate something else in there. So really you're only focusing on five things, three things, whatever your magic number is. And that is extremely helpful. But, you know, like everything, procrastination can be a habit, a bad habit. And so whenever you're changing habits, you just can't get rid of a habit. You've got to exchange it, right? You take a bad habit and you exchange it with a good habit. So just if you think of it along those lines, it's just a habit. Habits can change. So if you're going to stop procrastination, implement some of these techniques, but make it habitual, right? Do it all the time. So the short list is probably really, really easy because everyone has their, you know, long honey-do list, right? And yeah, and just, you know, stick it to maybe three things. On the weekend, I'm only doing these three. I realize there's 20 on the list, but I'm not going to worry about that because it's too overwhelming, right? And then we just don't do it. And then we get upset. And there's this vicious cycle that goes along with it.
Right. And the hardest part of the procrastination for me, and I try to tell my daughter this, is eventually you're going to, for me, I procrastinate till the morning. So I have to get something done for, let's say, 10 o'clock. Okay. So I'll procrastinate, and then sometimes I wind up back and painting myself into a corner, and now it's not done, or, you know, and I'm rushing around to finish something. And that's what I
absolutely
try to tell her with projects. Like, you're going to get to the point where you're not going to – you're just going to run out of time because we procrastinated for so long.
Yeah, and you know, and another sort of tip I tell people too is if you scheduled it for an hour, book it in for two because you'll be surprised. We think something may only take X amount of time. But sometimes it can take twice as long. And that's not, there's no judgment with that. It's not bad or good. It's until you get really good at analyzing how long things take you. And for your daughter, who's going to be definitely new to this, right? You know, as kids, they're not thinking about, I don't want to procrastinate. They're just doing it. So, you know, let's set them up for success. So if she scheduled an hour for something, say, hey, why don't you make it for an hour and a half? And then, you know, if you don't use that time up, fantastic. That's time back that you get. But if you do, then you've already kind of scheduled that in. And it just sets people up for greater success.
That is. And that's also kind of a built-in win. If you you could act as a, you know, again, being on the fitness coaching side, that's almost a win. If you schedule an hour and a half and you do it in an hour, it's like, yes. I
absolutely. And bonus, I get a half hour free, right? Sure. And sometimes we need those little psychological tricks to help us.
Great. Good stuff. All right, so moving on from there. So here's another one. This is all about me, it seems like.
All good. Are you kidding?
All about me all the time. No. So a lot of us work from home. Okay.
Yep.
And I have a hard time with this because I don't have to go into the office. I can work on some of the gym stuff at home. But I find if I do, I'm wind up watching TV or, you know, going down some rabbit hole like that. Do you have any tips you can give us for handling working at home and not procrastinating by watching TV?
Yeah, actually I do. It's an interesting dilemma with working from home because there's so many other opportunities to do other things, right? Yeah. I think the first and foremost is it really comes down to discipline, which I know you'll appreciate from a fitness perspective. If you're really going to work from home, you have to be extremely disciplined to know that this is now work hours. So one of the tricks you do is you treat it like an office. So if you are working from home, then establish your office hours. Sometimes you literally have to take a little note and saying office hours, you know, 9:30 to 5 or 8 to 4 or whatever it may be so that you can see it all the time. I'd also highly, highly recommend dress like you're going to the office. Let's be honest, when you're working from home and let's say you're still in your PJs and it's noon, it's still kind of hard to, you know, to get motivated. So if, you know, switching the mindset is, you know, treat your home like an office, dress as if you're going to the office. you can do to the extent of however you want to do it. If you want to put a suit on, put a suit on. It doesn't really matter. It's whatever's going to work for you. Right. But perhaps get out of those PJs. Make that bed. Shut that door. And ideally, if you can carve out a special place, in the perfect world, you'd have a room dedicated solely to the work that you're doing. But the reality is not everybody has that option. So I recommend you carve out a space wherever you are. Don't do your work on the kitchen table. Okay, clear out a space and maybe have a corner that has a desk and has great filing cabinet and has organization. So then, and then you have the ability to kind of close it too. So maybe it has a roll top or maybe it has doors or whatever it can be so that when you're done work, you're done work. You're now at home. So it's these kind of little small mental tricks that really help. And last but not least, if you can somehow disconnect your TV or because that's, you know, what happens. Oh, I'm having a break. I'm having a coffee. I'm going to just watch something. And then all of a sudden, you know, half hour, an hour goes by. Oh my goodness. Now I get it back on track. And if you're like me with Netflix, I have such a bad habit. And that's why I'm very careful when I start series is I'm like an addict. I can't stop. Like I have to watch the next one and the next one and the next one. So, you know, if you realize that about yourself, honestly, somehow disconnect it. Like I actually put a timer on my router for the internet so that at 12 o'clock, everything turns off. So I can't do work and I can't watch TV. So it allows me to go to bed at a decent time. Do you know what I mean? But you can do that kind of same concept. If you know, I mean, obviously when you're working, you need your internet, but you have to think of other inventive ways in order to do it. Now, here's something else I've done, which I don't know how your listeners. So I've actually, because with kids, trying to get them under control with the internet, you know those boxes that you put over the heating thermostat, like particularly at, you know, institutions to lock it so people don't play around with the temperature and create havoc? I actually put one of those on a timer on my electrical outlet that was connected to my router so that my kids couldn't go in and you literally have to physically get a key in order to unlock it and make changes to it, which is a really good thing because now you're physically saying I'm either sabotaging myself or not. Do you see what I mean? Oh, well, so those little tricks are extremely helpful.
Oh, that's great because that's one we always deal with. I have a 16-year-old who I don't have to probably have to tell you is always on her phone.
Yeah.
And we are developing the same thing with our 6-year-old that she's, you know, has her iPad time, but that's increasing more and more every night. So we have to do conscious things to take it away. So I like that idea. That's great. I never thought of the thermostat lockbox.
Absolutely. And just put it over your electrical outlet and put a timer on it. And so you can get digital timers. See, this is what I love. This is the efficiency expert in me coming through. And then you program it and then you let them know that, hey, yeah, you have, you know, between 8 and 9 or whatever it may be. And as of 10 o'clock, it's turning off. Now, the problem, because I have older kids too. Now, they're much older, so it's not an issue anymore. But data plan. So with the phone, they still have a data plan. So you may have to go into the data plan and turn it off. Because I know with mine, I can do that. I can go in on the web and turn off their data. So if they don't have Wi-Fi, because I turned it off at the power source, then they're truly off the phone. But I let them know why I'm doing it. And I give them the, you know, hey, you have time, but you got to make sure and – you know, your minds are still developing because that's my thought process. Oh, anyway.
Oh, that's true.
My poor kids, right?
No, but in the long run, I think they're going to be much better off. I mean, that's just part of our society of, you know, of everything being just always connected. And it's nice to be able to disconnect for a while.
Absolutely.
Especially for them to think and problem solve without having a game in front of them or something. So. Or the newest one my daughter does are these streaks on Snapchat. Like, I don't even know what they are, but I know she spends a lot of time doing it. It drives me insane.
Yeah, it's I know I'm trying to always catch up. Always trying to catch up. Exactly. But there does come a point in time where it does balance out. So.
Okay. All right. So let's, on that same line, now what happens to us that go to an office 9 to 5? Tons of distractions, water, and all that fun stuff. What are some efficiency things you can help us in the office?
I, you know, it, what I tell people, whether you're a morning person or an evening person, you know, this is where you may need to change habits if you're more of an evening person, is try to do as much as you can in the morning. And this is why. Because as your day progresses, when you first walk into the office, you 9 times out of 10, it depends on the industry that you're in. So if you're in the hospital setting, an emergency room, this won't apply. Or if you're, you know, in some other industry that is constantly on the go. But a lot of times in the morning, things are calm and quiet. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, you have more ability to get things done and focus. But when you plan things in the afternoon, 9 times out of 10, you can't do it because you've had emergency meetings, you're dealing with issues, right? And then your goal and your good intention of getting something done, which is really important in the afternoon, goes out the window, and now you have to wait till the next day. So really plan in the morning. I'm a big believer about getting up early in the morning, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock, and really focusing on getting some key things done at that time, whether it's my workout, reports, presentations, whatever that may be, because nobody's around. And then, you know, I do have an office I go to as well, at a home office. So whether it's then me going to my home office at that point and going to all my meetings, seeing my clients, it really works well. So get all your critical stuff in the morning is really, really helpful. Now, some other things too that I always suggest is when you do have stuff during the day, schedule in power hours. So 1 hour of getting things done. And if you honor that and you're disciplined with it, you'll be amazed at how much you can accomplish. And I think that's something else people don't realize with distractions is it's not even distractions with other people knocking on your door, phone call coming in, or you getting distracted with an internet or YouTube or whatever it may be. It's distractions of life, the busyness of life. So I always say, understand what it is that you want out of life and the road that you're on. So what is your vision in life? So if you have a vision statement, you have goals, if you have strategies, be really clear with that so that when you start doing things, that's one of the things you should ask yourself as a litmus test. Am what I'm doing aligned with this goal, this strategy, this vision that I have for myself? If it's not, why are you doing? That's a huge distraction, right? That's a huge distraction.
It certainly is. And, you know, you hit on vision statements, and I don't want to – we won't go down there too much today. Love to have you on and talk more about that because I know you spend a lot of time on that for yourself.
Yes.
And that's one thing we don't do as – I don't think we do, in my opinion, not all of us do well as individuals. Everyone worries about their corporate vision statement and their, you know, business and worrying about that and their, you know, their teams. But they don't worry about their own personal vision statement. And watching your TEDx you did, that was eye-opening for me because 100% correct. You spend time doing that. And then just like your business, it either checks those boxes or it doesn't. And that's a yes or no thing. It makes it so much easier.
Oh, my goodness. And then you're not wondering, should I not? Should I do this? You know, that's where we get self-doubt and we go down this spiral or rabbit hole. And you don't have to do that. You know, I when you have things set up for success, it's kind of like, let's say, if you're building something. If you have all the right tools, it's really easy, right? But it's really hard to hammer in a nail with a screwdriver. Yeah. Right? But if you have a hammer, it's really easy. So it's the same thing in life. Life can be easy if you have all the right tools, and your vision statement is definitely a tool to help guide you.
Definitely. Yeah, I like that. That's a good one. And one of the things, the first thing I always said to myself was, I don't have time for that. But if you make that time, everything else becomes that much easier, and you save time in the long run, not having to make, you know, those decisions become that much easier.
Yeah. And I think some people are so focused on the immediacy, like as of right now, I don't have time, so I can't do it. But right. We have to think long-term. We have to have long-term vision to say, and you hit the nail on the head. I'm going to invest some time in it now, which may, you know, take me away from something that's important, but in the long run, I'm going to save a whole bunch of time because now I'm going to be only doing things that are aligning me with what I want. So every step I take now has purpose. How cool is that? Definitely. Right? I'm not going down a path, which I realize this is not what I want. And then years go by for sometimes for some people. And then they feel stuck, like they can't turn back, or it's going to take them forever to turn back. Why even put yourself in that scenario?
Right.
At all.
Well, definitely. And that's it. And we just have to treat ourselves like many, many corporations or many companies, and battle it just like you would at work.
Absolutely.
Definitely. All right. So moving on from work, now we're at home.
Right? Mm-hmm.
We're all busy. Right? Everyone loves that word. How are you? Busy? That's the word. So we got kids, careers, gym, social life, all this stuff. You got any tips and efficiency things to help us at home manage our time and run a tighter ship?
Absolutely. So these are there's kind of two prongs to this. There's a philosophical, higher level thinking way of improving your time at work and at home, and then actual physical techniques. So I'm just going to highlight the physical stuff or the intellectual kind of philosophical stuff. So like I said earlier on, what do you want at home? What's your vision for your home life, right? Is it to have a peaceful home life, healthy eating, you know, all of that stuff? Really understand what is it that you want? What are your goals? What are your strategies? And once you understand that, start prioritizing them. Because, again, everything we do, whether it's for work, personal, at home, our family, you know, we want to ensure that we're following through on that, because it's really easy to get lost in, I'd like to say, the white noise, the vortex of busyness.
Right.
Now, so that's really important. Now, what are some tricks and tips that you can do in order to do it? Well, you know, I'm a big believer in big, huge family calendars. So really getting organized with that. I'm a big believer in having family meetings where we all organize and figure out and try to trade. How about food? Food is a huge one that really has an impact on our busyness at home. And we can so go down a spiral of eating junk food or processed food or whatever that is. So little techniques that I do is I prep and plan meal plans like on a Sunday. Usually Sundays are good days for me, right? I can organize it. I put things on timer, so I love brown rice, but it takes 40 minutes to cook, right? So I actually have a rice cooker, and I put it on a timer, and I get it all prepped so that it will go on when I walk through the door, and I have my chicken already marinating, so I just have to turn on the oven. So this is a big hint that I've done, particularly when the kids were younger and I really wanted healthy eating. Well, actually, I always want healthy eating, but, you know, as they get older, it's different.
So I'm going to end up there for a second, and for my listeners out there, sounds familiar, right? This is the same stuff. She's an expert. And it's the same stuff we're telling you. So you got to do that. So.
You got to do that. So what I tell people, this is how people work. They come home, they do their prep, and then they eat. And what usually happens is when you're tired and exhausted, you don't want to do your prep, so you pick what's easy, and it's usually not the healthiest version.
Yeah.
So if you, the night before, do your prep for the next day, and it's all ready, salad's cut, just don't put dressing on it so it's still crisp. Things are all ready. Your chicken has been, it's frozen, and you have it defrosting, and it's in a marinated at the same time. You have your rice cooker so that when you come home, it's already prepped because you did it the night before. And now the big difference here is after the meal, you prep for next evening's meal.
Gotcha. Right.
So now you're just switching where you do things. You're not prepping before to eat. You are prepping after you eat for the next day. So when you come in, you just have to heat things up, or you just have to, you know, get things cooked.
Gotcha.
And you don't have to worry about prepping it. It is huge. It makes such a big difference.
So, and I may be jumping ahead of you, and I apologize if I do, but what I'm seeing is that's kind of the same thing you'd want to do with your schedule, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Kind of get that schedule prepped for the next day. I try to do that, I'll be honest, I fail. I start every night with good intention, right? And I write it down, and then all heck breaks loose, but at least I try to get it situated ahead of time.
So what I recommend for that, because there's a strategy with that, you know, when it comes to time management, you know, you have to kind of look out into the future. So if you have a goal, like we're talking about that whole, what's your vision, goal, strategy, you know, what are those big things? When you want to get those things done, and you have to, this is now project management coming through. You work backwards and you break things down into those manageable chunks. And whenever you get those manageable chunks, you then start putting them in the day that you want. So I actually look at my calendar from a monthly perspective every month, kind of looking out weekly. So on Sundays, I'm looking at my calendar for the week. What do I have to do? What's coming down the pike? You know, when do I have to fit things in? And as you said, the day, like at the night for the next day. Because I love waking up stress-free. I love waking up with a smile on my smile on my face, you know, giving thanks that it's going to be an awesome day, having my cup of coffee, doing some meditation, reading the paper, because I already know from the night before exactly what I have to do and what I have to get done. I'm not worried about it. I'm not spending that time in the morning trying to figure it out and then already feeling like I'm behind the eight ball. So it's just, it's a part of discipline. And, you know, if you get into that habit, you'll be amazed. It will just become a natural thing. So before I go to bed, I just organize my day. Do I have everything? What do I want to do? How do I want to prioritize it?
All right. That's good stuff. You mentioned the meditation in there. I've just started meditating about probably 2 or 3 months ago. And that's amazing the difference it made for me personally.
That's awesome.
Kind of calms my day down. That's how I, you know, start the morning, no cell phone. Well, I lie. I use Headspace on the phone, but that's the only time I really just to turn that on for the first 10 minutes of my day. Like you said, I schedule my day, and that's part of my schedule. I mean, it's in there, and it sets my day off in the right direction. Then I journal, and then my day feels set and clear, and I'm ready to tackle it. So,
absolutely, I love meditation. I love mindfulness, and I you know. It's becoming more of a hot topic and being more mainstream, particularly in organizations. And I actually do a lot of work with that, with companies, because it, you know, not that mindfulness or meditation makes you more productive. It's kind of like a positive offshoot aspect of it. It's because you're grounded, you're in peace, you're not in that busyness, you don't feel like you're in that whirlwind of life where it starts carrying you away, because you just get grounded. And I don't know if you've noticed, for me, it gives me this different perspective I wouldn't have had if I was just in that whirlwind, because you're reacting. But now with mindfulness techniques and meditation, you're grounded. You can actually see things for what they are.
And you respond, not react, which to me is more of a positive thing, when you respond instead of reacting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's something as a gym. I saw this great thing on Instagram, and it had a picture of, you know, the six pack abs, and it's like, these are abs. That's not health. And then it had on the other side, it was mindfulness and being outside and being grounded. And that's really, we've taken that turn in our gym of really understanding what health is. And health is part of being, is that mindfulness and understanding that you have to calm down and not, you know, we're going to exercise to feel good, not to come out with this aesthetic thing, but, you know, to kind of shape your whole body, mind, and spirit. So
absolutely.
It means those little things that I've personally done, the journaling, the meditation, it's made such a huge difference. And, you know, trying to get a few other people have done it, and they've noticed it too. So it's a huge, huge thing for me.
That's awesome that you promote that. I think your clients are very, very lucky and blessed.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. So moving on, I get in this rabbit hole a lot. So we've been talking about the internet and things like that. So a lot of us have businesses, and I know yours is online as well, and you have to use social media for marketing and connecting with with folks. So how can we coexist with media so that I'm not looking for at least 3.5 hours, but I found this chicken recipe?
I'm there's no magic bullet. It's hard. Social media, particularly as we know from a business perspective, it's a necessary evil.
Right.
And so I try to be as efficient as I can with it. So here's my experience. Now other people have a different experience. This is how I experience it. When we start a brand new social media channel, we usually spend tons of time on it developing. like tons of time on it developing. So, you know, yeah, 3 hours. I remember when I first started Twitter years and years and years ago, I'd be like 3 hours every night on it, responding, trying to get engagement, because it's all about the engagement, right?
Right.
As soon as you build it, it kind of takes a life of its own. And so I don't have to do as much. So what we do is we use Hoopla to help schedule everything, which is really important. Okay. So, you know, you want to post, your post is just that, you're posting stuff, but you know, we use Hoopla, so we already think about what are the things we want to say. We're a business, so we have quotes, information, articles, things of that nature. We develop that in advance. We have a beautiful Excel sheet that kind of shows that. We recycle things because, again, there's no point in creating 100% new content 100% of the time. If 6 months go by, you know, why don't you reuse that quote, right? Sure. There's nothing wrong with that. And it could be value that someone sees it and says, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That was really good. So that's all positive. So we do that, and we use Hoopla to schedule things in, and then we just engage and try to be on a set schedule, because you're right, it totally can escape you.
So really what I'm seeing, and the whole theme of this, with every question I've asked, it seems to be the same thing. It's a little more upfront time planning and organizing, but once you do, you save so much more time on the backside of it.
Absolutely, because the methodology we use for efficiency and productivity is a lean and lean Six Sigma. And I don't know if you've heard of that. Some people have, some people haven't. It's a methodology that's been around for 100 years, actually a very long time. Okay. Organizations in manufacturing have been using it. And as a result of it, what they always say, you know, it's about building in value for the customer. But in order to provide that value, you look to remove waste in your system. And a lot of that stuff is that we build stuff in after the fact. So if you start designing up front efficiencies and you put all the work up front, it makes it a lot easier. And it's just a standpoint of, you know, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat, because you've already established everything in the beginning. And if you can standardize as much as you can, that makes it a lot easier for stuff that there are stuff that's just standardized, right?
Definitely when you make that commitment ahead of time to get all that stuff planned. And I've gotten better at that with Instagram for the gym. We use an app called Later, which is nice because you can just schedule that stuff out and pop it in. And then I try to stay off it. And so I don't go down those rabbit holes. But
I know. Yeah. And just set it in. You know what? Put a timer on. I'm going to give myself an hour to reply because, you know, you want to be thoughtful. You want to engage. You know, so just put a timer on for whatever it is. And as soon as that timer goes off, get off, because I promise you, it is so easy to get sucked in. Oh my goodness. And we've all done it, myself included.
Definitely. All right. So organizational stuff, you mentioned the family calendar, things like that. So do you prefer paper, electronic? Is there science behind that? One's better than the other? Is that just a preference thing?
I think it's a preference. I really do believe it's a preference. I'm a little old fashioned. I grew up on paper. So there's something to me very, I like writing things down and then crossing it off or giving a little check mark. There's a little bit of an adrenaline rush, right? Oh my goodness, I got that done. Look at that. Cross. It feels really good. And with paper, I can bring it everywhere with me. I can have it in my pocket. I can whip it out. It's there. I find, like there's nothing wrong with electronic. There's some really good apps out there for to-do lists and stuff like that. But sometimes with electronic, I personally, for me, because I'm so used to paper, is I feel slightly kind of like one kind of removed from it a little bit. With paper, I feel like it's connected to me. Now, that being said, I'm a huge OneNote person. So for business, I'm in OneNote from a standpoint of lists and to-dos and stuff of that nature, because that just is really helpful for me. However, my grocery list is still on a paper, right? Because I want to go in with a pen and scratch it off. I've tried it with my phone. It just doesn't work for me. So it's a preference. Do what's right for you, but get organized. That is the key. You need some sort of organizational tool, whether it's electronic or paper, to keep you on track. Because I promise you, you're not going to remember everything in your head.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And then it's like, oh, I got to go back. I forgot the milk. Darn it.
And just as we're talking, one thing I was thinking about too, going electronic, using something on your phone. If you know the phone's an addiction to you or a problem for you, you probably don't want to use electronic, because then you'll be tempted to, again, go down that rabbit hole of wasting time doing something else.
Absolutely. Let me just check that, you know, Instagram account. I'm sure I got a little ding, right? You know, because it's there. Absolutely.
All right. Well, we've taken up a bunch of your time, so I don't want to try to see if we can a couple more questions and we can end this for us here. What are some takeaways we can implement today?
I would say the biggest one, and I think you hit the nail on the head, is about the planning and the prepping. Understand what you want. Give yourself the time to reflect. What is it that you want out of life? How and live your life accordingly to what your goals are. That is huge. If you want to be efficient, you want to be effective, you want to be productive, you want to get the things you want out of life, well, then you need clarity around that. And sometimes people are afraid to look deep into that. That's why they're so focused on the superficial, because it's instantaneous gratification when I get my like for a post or however that may be. But you know what? The inward work is really where it's at. Figure out who you are. What is it that you want? That to me is the biggest takeaway. If you have any inclination or any sort of guidance on that, you're going to go down a path that is going to really be authentic to you and you're going to connect with, and it's just going to feel good. And that to me is why we're here in life, right? To connect to who we are, the authenticity of ourselves, and to ensure we're doing things that are aligned with ourselves so we don't feel like we are doing things that, why am I doing this? Do you see what I mean? Okay. And I would say that, like, that's, and then break things down. You know what? Just break it down. It's, you have a major task. Don't get overwhelmed by it. What can you take away and just do a small thing? Small little things, multiple throughout the day, will move you forward. Definitely move you forward.
Awesome. Good stuff. All right. This is a little off topic. So I watched, as we mentioned earlier, I watched your TEDx message that you had on there, and I love the story about your personal theme song. For those of, I'm going to put that in the show notes so people can watch that. But would you mind sharing that story with us? I thought that was fantastic.
Oh, thank you. It's I still smile whenever I think about how that all unfolded. And this is why I'm so, so grateful I have a personal vision statement. So I believe in vision statements, as I think your listeners know by now. But I believe in visual vision statements. So we actually, I go one step further. I create the vision statement and I put it in a visual. And I actually have workbooks that help people do that, which they can go on my website and check out. I have a personal and business one. So I have a personal vision statement. If you go on my website, you can even see it. I've had it now for, you know, 20 years and it still resonates with me. So I use it to make yes and no decisions. And one day, so I play guitar and I sing, and I have a really good friend, Adam Michael, who's a musician. And he, this was a few years back, and he says, you know, Adriana, I think you're ready to go into a recording studio and record a song. And I was like, wow, what a compliment. Thank you so much. But fear totally popped in. And I'm like, no, there's no way I can do this. I'm busy. And I had every excuse under the sun as to why I could not do it. Which is a natural reaction that all of us had. Here's this door of opportunity opening in front of me, and I closed it. And so he says, hey, don't worry about it. Not a big deal. So he leaves. He's in my home at this point of time. I go downstairs to my basement where I actually have my home office, and I have my personal visual vision statement right there when you walk in. And I walk into my office, and right there on my personal visual vision statement are these musical notes. I have a few images on it. And there's musical notes, and it hit me. I went a few choice words. And I went, oh, I have to do it now. I have to say yes to Adam. So here I was getting angry at Adam because I had to say yes to this opportunity, which is something I always wanted because it's in my vision statement. I said no to it. My first reaction was no because of fear. So I looked at the vision statement. I said, okay, this is what's important to me. Those musical notes that I'm seeing have a little bit of a paragraph behind it. I'm like, okay, I need to say yes to this. I need to jump out of my comfort zone and I need to say yes. And upon doing that, I called him. I said, okay, let's do it. Literally so quickly, we went to the recording. I went into a recording studio, actually created a song because he told me I had to actually create one, not borrow one. And we recorded it, and it was an amazing experience. And at the same time, I was doing work for some clients, and I was so excited that I shared with them my vision statement theme song, right? And they loved it. And as a result, they're like, oh my goodness, we should do this for our team. We should create a corporate theme song. And as a result of that, I was like, oh my goodness, what a great idea. I've never done one before, but I will figure it out and we will do it. And as a result of all of that, I now offer the service of creating corporate theme songs with organizations that tie in with their vision statement. And it's so cool. I never would have thought in a million years that I would be offering something as creative and innovative as a corporate theme song that ties to vision statements that we then work with your team in order to do. So I have this whole new product offering. Why? Because I said yes to my vision. But what is scary, and this is what I'm grateful for that I had it, is my original answer was no. And how often do we say no to opportunities? Because we have no idea what they're going to turn into. I could never have told you that this is what it was going to turn into. And that's why that vision statement is so important, because it keeps you on your path and it brings you opportunities that you have no idea that you're going to go down, but is aligned with who you are and you as an authentic person. Just being aligned with it is so huge.
It is, for sure. And thank you for sharing that story. And one thing, you know, we keep talking about this vision statement, and I think a lot of what makes it hard, and I know for me, is you can't lie anymore to yourself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you really have to take that barrier down to know exactly what you want and to know what you're doing. I mean, and, you know, like we all, and, you know, when I say lie, I don't mean it in a bad way, but we lie to our, you know, it is breaking down that wall to come up with that vision statement of truly what you want to do.
Well, absolutely. You have to be honest and you have to, yeah, you have to challenge yourself, because there may be some things that you thought were important to you. And when you do the true reflection work, you realize, you know what, that was just something I was keeping myself busy with, because what I really want scares me.
Exactly. That's yeah. The fear is really, yeah. Fear
of the, oh, yeah.
A whole bit. So it's good stuff. All right. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. So we'd like to end this with some resources. Can you give us your favorite book, app, and website? They don't have to be necessarily for organization or anything like that, but if you can just give those to us, we'd appreciate it.
No, absolutely. Favorite book, hands down, The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. Highly recommend it. I'm a big believer. You know, there's tons of how-to books, but this talks about the inner work. And I think this is where a lot of people falter, because they don't do the inner work. And this Untethered Soul book is amazing. Love it, love it, love it. App, I'm a big audiobook person, so I love Hoopla. Hoopla is an app that connects with your public library and allows you to download free audiobooks. And you get 7 free audiobooks, or even movies, or you can even do movies, whatever they offer. And it's through your public library. So I love that app, Hoopla, Hoopla. And it supports libraries, which I think is really important. Websites. Well, I'm going to say my websites, obviously. my YouTube channel, Adriana Girdler. I got to do a little promo on that.
Definitely.
So I'm slightly biased. Yeah. But you know what? There's a brand new website called klaxoon.com that I'm using, which helps with efficiency with meetings and brainstorming and things like that, which I'm finding to be really interesting in a positive way. So it uses electronic versions for something that I normally do with pen and paper. But yeah, so that one is something that I'm like, okay, that's cool. It's a cool thing.
What was that website again?
Klaxoon, KLAXOON.com. And no, I do not get paid by them.
All right.
I like them. I really like them as a.
I got to check that one out. And definitely that book sounds good, because I'm really, again, going back into that meditation thing, really starting to connect with myself more and more. And again, starting to stop lying to myself about a lot of stuff.
You know what? I have on my YouTube channel, Michael Singer did the Untethered Soul at Work. It's an audio book. It's a 2-hour audio book, but I did a summary review on it. So check it out.
Will do.
And it'll give you kind of a taste for what that's all about. But I definitely recommend the Untethered Soul.
Great. We'll do that. Okay. So where can our listeners follow you?
They can follow me on Instagram on the Adriana Girdler, and I think you're going to have the verbiage there. They can look at my website, cornerstonedynamics.com. They can also look at myvisualvision.com, which is all about visioning. I'm that passionate about it. I had his own website. I have a YouTube channel, Adriana Girdler. I have Facebook as well, Adriana Girdler, Cornerstone Dynamics, LinkedIn. LinkedIn with me. I love LinkedIn. Very professional. So by all means, we'd love if people connected.
Awesome. We'll do. Well, not too much time because we want to keep that efficiency going up nice and high.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Well, I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to have this conversation with us.
Joe, thank you so much for reaching out. It was a pleasure. It was an honor. And I really hope your listeners get value out of this.
Great. Thank you so much.
That's it for this episode of Beyond the Whiteboard. Thanks to this week's guest and sponsors for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out fortitudefs.com, where you can find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned and information about Fortitude Fitness. If you haven't subscribed to Beyond the Whiteboard on iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Beyond the Whiteboard.